Hello, welcome to the Last Show Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Shane Williams. I'm a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. Thank you for listening and tuning in to your show, to my show. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Radio, as we always do. You can go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. You can see where I'm performing my stand-up comedy. In a few weeks, I will be in Florence, Indiana, which maybe I'll talk about in this episode during the World Series of Comedy Festival in Florence, Indiana. You can get tickets somewhere in Florence. World Series of Comedy website, they probably got tickets there. October, I'm jam-packed. I'll be in Sarasota first week of October. Then I'll be in, Tulsa. I'll be in Oklahoma City. I'll be making my runs. So go to my website. You can see where I'm performing all my latest stuff. And before we get really started, I want to thank everybody that came out. I just got back from Seattle the last weekend. That's why there was no podcast. I was on the road. I got to figure out what to do. When there's no podcast, like, what should I do? What should I do? Should I do like a best of podcast? You know, because like sometimes when you're like, hey, I wonder what Dan Patrick is up to on Labor Day. And it's like some best of, you know what I mean? He's breaking down Tubby Smith at Kentucky. You're like, eh, that's not going to end well. I like actually doing that. I like listening to sports shows after the events have already happened. Like, you know, after the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Listen to those podcasts. Like, you ever listen like the podcast and it's like the Cavaliers have no chance of beating the Warriors. You know, two games later, Draymond Green, you know, punches LeBron in the nuts and the rest is history. Kevin Love is locking down Steph Curry on the perimeter. That's not going to age well, by the way. Like, when Steph Curry's in the Hall of Fame, is like all-time leader in three-pointers, all-time, maybe the all-time leading scorer for that matter, two-time MVP, the only unanimous MVP, and they're going to be like, wow, no one can stop this guy. And somebody's going to be like, hold on, it'll probably be me in a jumpsuit. Hold on. And they're throwing theirs as Kevin Love, double knee braced up, locking them down on the perimeter. So that's what I always like to listen to. But what should I do when I'm not here? Thought about that because I don't really have time to put through a best of podcast, and I don't even know if there's a best of. There's actually a couple things I actually like over the course of the podcast, but there's no best of. So essentially, I just like rerun an episode of the podcast. I should just rerun the episode after the Cavs won the championship. That should be the one I run. But there was no pod. I was in Seattle, but I want to thank everybody that came out to Naked City Brewery this past week. It was the first time doing two shows, and it was a success, you know? It was successful, which is good. They weren't sold out. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. Both shows were not sold out. If I combine the shows, we had more than a sellout, but I didn't combine the shows. That's the whole point. They weren't both sold out, but it was definitely a positive step forward, man, and definitely good. And if that is as successful as it gets, it'll be highly successful, like highly successful. You know, not to toot my own horn, but there's not really too many people, you know, in the city that run two shows a month on the same day, which is what was going to be. The next show is going to be October 6th, and there'll be a 6:30 show, and there'll be a 9 p.m. show, which I won't be at, but shameless plug, it'll be Ken Hamlin, Noriko Ott will be coming up from Los Angeles, New York, and then we have Naren Van, and we'll have Tony Daniel and Ken Hamlin host the show. So that'll be the show on October 6th, and there'll be two shows that day. There's not too many people that run two shows, you know, in a month, let alone on the same day. So if that ends up being what the ceiling is on the show, it's a great success. But I got a feeling it's going to be better. That was Labor Day weekend, and I got a feeling that, you know, people are going to enjoy the show, continue to come out and support. And I want to thank you guys that came out to support the show. That's the main thing. And I had a fantastic time. Bumper shoot was cool. I didn't get to see anybody perform. Nobody. I was busy running around. I will say this. Only time I was really there was during the daytime. And during the daytime, like, it was packed. A lot of kids. I never felt like an older man than sitting around those kids. I know why old people don't like kids. You know? Because you're jealous. How can she wear that? I can wear that. I was looking at girls. I was like, I can wear those shorts. Yeah, well, I'd put on some underwear, but I'd wear those shorts. But people were performing during the daytime. During the daytime is when you get the people that like aren't the headliners. Like at night, I think it was SZA, Chainsmokers, and J. Cole were the three big acts. I know who all those are. I don't really get down with the Chainsmokers like that, but I know who the Chainsmokers are. It's like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or Jonas Brothers. Like, I've heard of them, and I don't exactly know what they do. Like, the Jonas Brothers, they could either sing or own an auto repair shop. But I know they do something. It's like Pep Boys. Who are the Pep Boys? I have no clue. But I know the Pep Boys would change your oil if you call them sometime in between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. That's the way the Pep Boys work. Lucas Oil Fuel Treatment. I don't know who Lucas is, but I know he does oil. And that's what it is with the chain smokers, man. But in the daytime when I'm there, like, I didn't know anybody. And the shows were packed. The festival was packed in the daytime. The other thing that was crazy, too, is that they knew all the words to the songs. So I had not heard of these people, yet they knew the words to every one of these dudes' songs, which made me think, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. No one comes to my shows and starts reciting the lyrics. Meaning, at no point in time in my show has everyone fired up a lighter and started swaying back and forth. Like I was doing Levon at an Elton John concert. That never happened to me. So, got to get on my game, man. But thank you guys for coming out to Seattle and supporting what I'm doing, man. I really, really appreciate it. And support more shows. I'll be back in January. I'll be back. Mark it down. I'll be back sometime in January. I don't know exactly, but I'll be back. And look forward to seeing y'all there in Seattle. In the meantime, you can go to my schedule, see where I'm performing. And thank you for drifting about on my escapade. So this is the deal, man. I just read what happened to the orange one. 045, man. I was online, and actually, I didn't even plan on doing the show today, and I was online. I was like, you know, I got some time. Let me crank out a show real quick. And I read the New York Times op-ed piece that somebody wrote on Trump. They didn't even write on Trump. It was basically an autobiography, just in a day in the life. I mean, it was like watching Boyhood for politicians. You know, it's just a moment in time. We freeze frame the whole thing. Somebody in the Trump administration wrote an op-ed on Donald Trump, and it seemed like, and if you haven't already, I guess go read it, but I didn't even know it existed. I just saw a bunch of reaction, and I was like, what are they reacting to? And I finally got to the New York Times article, which I read for free, by the way. You know, thank you, online New York Times. I appreciate it. Don't really know how you're getting your subscriptions up, but your boy, I saw it. Actually, I saw your advertising too. I clicked on a couple. Like, if you give me something for free, I'll click on the advertisement. I won't buy anything, you know? I don't need a Snuggie, but I'll click. I understand the hustle. However, I digress. So I read the article, and there's a mole. That's the thing I took from it. Like, this dude doesn't care if he gets fired. Well, I guess you do care if you get fired if you write it anonymously. But also, like, the article's supposed to reassure you, basically, that there's people inside the Trump campaign that we're actively combating Trump, and we're making sure. There was one part of the campaign where he's campaign. There's one part of the op-ed piece where he said he was going to sign some kind of thing with, you know, trades or whatever he was going to sign. And they just like took it off his desk, and then he just moved on to the next thing. How bad do you need to play golf that you forget to sign something? Like, you know, I just bought a house. And, like, if I get some piece of paperwork and my wife is like, hey, don't sign that. And she just took it off my desk. And then, you know, like, I would never ask about it again. Like, that's the way he's operating. This dude is operating based on, if I don't have a paperweight, like, I will just forget everything to do. You wonder, old people, why they have paperweights? It's the same people reason old people don't like young people. Yeah? Because they can't hold on to stuff. As Trump needs a paperweight, man. Who knew we would be in World War III if Trump had a paperweight, man. But Trump ain't got a paperweight, and the orange one is letting things slip right through his hands. The article makes him look like a clown, which I thought he was anyways. But not only does it make him look like a clown, it lets you know that the people that work for him think he's a clown too. Like, basically everybody in the White House knows they're working at Safeway. Like, basically everybody knows. Everybody knows, yo, the boss, he's a little crazy. You know, now this Safeway happens to run the United States of America, but it's a Safeway nonetheless. Like, they short on supplies. Some people ain't working the checkout. The lines are stacking up, you know, and the manager is walking out, you know, freshly painted orange doing overrides. Like, everybody knows what the deal is, okay? So the thing is, well, I guess it's not broken, because the op-ed was like, it ain't broken. We're making sure to push through the right stuff. And he also made sure to let you know that, like, yo, he's done some stuff that we actually like. Like, he's done this and he's done that, and that part is dope. But the Kim Jong-un and the Vladimir Putin, they wanted to make that clear. We don't rock with Putin and we don't rock with Kim Jong-un. And I don't know. I don't even know what the piece was for. Because if it was supposed to reassure me, all you did is confirm everything I thought in the first place. It seems like whoever the mole is positioning themselves to take that job. Which makes me think the mole might be Mike Pence. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants the mole to be Mike Pence or your girl. Who's your girl that does Saunders? Is that your girl that does the, like, one of them two? Because if the mole is Mike Pence, like, he's firmly entrenching himself as, like, yo, I'm not that dude. But that also makes the most sense, because we in like sports, right? You think if something comes out, it's always the assistant coach, because the assistant coach wants your job. Like when the Browns start off 0-6 and you start getting anonymous report, you know, like, either Todd Haley or your boy that had Bounty Gate. One of them two is the ones that's going to be releasing all the bad stuff, man. That's the way it goes, because people want your spot. That's what they want. That's what they want. Personally, I hope the mole is his wife. I'm be honest. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for old Melania. And the way she wrote, it was beautiful English. So I'm rooting for her to be like this covert person that's not actually foreign, like the Americans, you know what I mean? And then she just rips off her mask like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. It was me. And then I file for a divorce and we don't have a prenup. And like Trump gets impeached, takes all of his stuff. And then now he's there like on The Apprentice, you know, as a contestant, you know what I mean? And behind the desk is LeBron. That's what I'm rooting for. It's the Last Show podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the show. It's called The Last Show because this may be it. And you can dance. Welcome back to the Last Show podcast. This right here, do not adjust your speakers. I know what I said last week. This right here is Madonna, Into the Groove. I was a little too hard on Madonna, maybe. I said that she ain't have no bangers. This right here is a banger right here. I mean, this is a banger. Into the Groove. You know what? I actually, after that podcast, I was like, let me check out Madonna. You know what I mean? Because I'm ill-informed about Madonna. I don't really rock. And I will say this. I still don't rock with Madonna. Like, you know what I mean? She ain't really got that much fire. This right here, this some fire. You know what I did notice, though? Madonna's records is in, like, a lot of video games. Like, I feel like I've heard a lot of her stuff, like, in the elevator. Or, like, in movies. Like, old, like, Tom Cruise movies. You know, like, I feel like all of her music could have been in, like, Top Gun at some point in time. Or, like, you know, like, Dirty Dancing. Or what's the other movie with Ghost? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a Patrick Swayze, you know, leather jacket in the summer kind of vibe to all of Madonna's. And it's all the same record, by the way, over and over. You know what it reminded me of? Like, Madonna would be Rihanna right now. Like, that's it. And, like, Rihanna, she got a couple bars, some fire. But it's like Rihanna's not in the rotation. Love Rihanna. Hey, Riri, if you listen to the pod, like, I'm all down. Like, don't stop the music. It's like, all that is fire. Like, if I'm in, like, some hot yoga class. But I don't really rock with hot yoga, and I ain't really rocking Rihanna like that, you know? But if it comes on in the club, you best believe I'm hitting the dance floor. And if Into the Groove comes on in the club, I'll hit the dance floor. You know what I mean? It's a good wedding song. So my apologies to the queen of pop. You know what I mean? You're not as bad as I thought you was. Let's move right along, dude. Let's jump right in. I'm gonna should we jump in funny or jump in a little bit serious? We'll go a little bit serious. How about we start here? Le'Veon Bell. So does Le'Veon Bell plays for the Steelers? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, today is Thursday, so today he don't play for the Steelers. But you know what? I listen to a lot of sports radio. And one thing I'm hearing a lot is people like don't understand Le'Veon Bell. And let me break this down. Or they don't agree, rather, because football is a team sport. Like, and Le'Veon Bell doesn't want to sign the franchise tag. Doesn't want to come to work, basically, for what they're paying him. Now, he's making $14 million. And the only reason I say he's making $14 million is because everybody keeps bringing up the fact that he's making $14 million, even though he's actually not making $14 million. That's the thing I want to sit on. He ain't making $14 million. The franchise tag is worth $14 million. But he hasn't signed the franchise tag. So people are like, every day, he's giving up $1 million. Every game, rather. Every game he misses, he's giving up $900,000. Not if you don't have a contract. And that's the bottom line. He doesn't have a contract. He needs to come to work, and he has to. What about your teammates? You're letting your team down. He ain't got a contract. Do you go to work without a contract? Now, granted, he has a contract on the table he could sign, but he don't like the contract, which means until I sign the contract, I ain't got to show up to work. Furthermore, why are you in my pocket? Like, what's up with Millennial America? This ain't even Millennial America. This is old man America. Millennial America, they hip to the game, okay? Old people, why you in my pocket? You mean? Hey, you ain't never seen Malcolm X? Get your hand out my pocket. Why in my pocket? That's one thing I remember. That's one thing like my dad taught me. My grandmother taught me. I don't know if that's like a Cleveland thing. Get your hand out my pocket. Why are you worrying about everybody knows what the NFL is? He's a running back in the NFL. Running backs in the NFL get chewed up. It's funny that all the offensive linemen for Pittsburgh come out and they're like, well, we got Connor. There's some dude named Connor on their team that's going to be the running back. They're like, well, we got Connor, and Connor will be fine. Connor's going to open up holes because the offensive line is the reason that we make the running back popular. And the running back is interchangeable. That's all you keep hearing in the NFL. So, if all that is true and the running back is interchangeable in the NFL and you can get another running back and run him out and then get another running back and run him out and the position's devalued, why the hell am I going to show up for some money I don't believe I'm worth? If I already know I'm interchangeable and I already know your plan is to use me up, Le'Veon Bell had more touches than any running back in the NFL last year. If I know y'all are trying to run me into the ground, at least pay me while you do it. And for all the offensive linemen, he makes more than us. Are you saying that to Tom Brady? Are you saying that to Kirk Cousins? Are you saying that to him? Guess what? A bunch of people make more than you do. If I had a show tomorrow and I said, you know what, man? Dave Chappelle, he makes more than I do. Of course he does. That's how the game works. And there's people that's looking at me that's like, yo, Courtney, he makes more than I do. That's right. That's the way the game works. Because he makes more than I do. That's just what it is. And furthermore, while you're looking in pockets of he makes more than I do, why don't you look at the owner? Because the owners make more than all y'all. And you're siding with ownership. You're siding with ownership. You know the dude's worth more than $14 million or whatever he's getting. You know he's worth more than that. Yet you don't understand. It's a disposable position that people have devalued, and Le'Veon Bell wants his money. As a running back in the NFL, you're on a rookie scale deal, and by the time your rookie scale deal is up, their move is to use you up and let you go. And they don't care about the rest of your career. Ezekiel Elliott, stay woke. You're up next. That's the way this works. And that's why Todd Gurley went and got his money. And that's why Le'Veon Bell wants to get his money. So now his play needs to be straight up. I'm not coming into the last possible moment, which is week 9. So if he comes in week 9, he's missed most of the season, comes into the end, works his way into some kind of shape. Maybe they do well in the playoffs. Maybe they don't. But next year, he's lined up to get his cash. And by the way, if you wanted him to show up to work, all you had to do is pay him. All you had to do is pay him. You ain't pay him, and now he ain't going. I don't know why that's so hard for anybody to believe. Well, the next team, it'll be hard for me to invest in Le'Veon Bell if I don't know that he's committed. Now, I'm not committed for $14 million. Let's make that clear. If, for all the people that don't, I heard Dan Patrick say, so Dan Patrick, I'm talking to you. I know you listen to the podcast, Dan Patrick. I know. When you're in contract negotiation with NBC and they offer you a number, or ESPN, they offer you a number, and you don't believe in whatever that number is, and you decide, you know what, I'm going somewhere else, or you know what, I'm not going to show up. Do you not believe in the team, Dan Patrick? No. You believe you're worth a better number, whatever it is, or worth more incentives, whatever it is. The idea that no one can grasp that, it's different. Football is a team sport. According to who? They cut them dudes individually. Individually. When it's time to get cut. I'm going to tell you like my dad told me. Hey, you can be with your friends. You out there. You having a good time. But when it all goes down, it's just going to be you. And Le'Veon Bell's like, yo, it ain't going to be that. I ain't going out like that. Not for $14 million. When they going to load him up with carries on top of it. So if I'm another team and I'm looking at Le'Veon Bell, I'm thinking, hey, he basically took a couple years off. He smoked some weed, missed some games. Like, this dude's a young 28. Like, this is the guy I would invest in if I had to invest. Maybe you play him. Maybe you ban him for a couple years. Maybe you give him, you know, 40, 50 guaranteed. He's going to lose $1 million a game. Maybe. But guess what else he's going to miss? Getting hit. That's another thing. Which is more important at the running back position than playing. More important. More important than that $1 million. Because, oh, he missed that $1 million, but if he adds another year to his career by not playing, maybe one of those years is worth $20 million. So you're making more than $1 million a game, and that's if you show up for all the games. Because if you guarantee me $20 million on a contract, you know, and I show up for 6 games, I still get my 20. Like, that's the way the game works. So I'm down with Le'Veon Bell. And I'm down with not looking in another man's pocket. I just said what he was making because everybody said what he was making. I don't really know why that's so hard to grasp either. He doesn't have a contract. That's it. The franchise was tendered. That's what they call it. Tendered. If he signs it, then they can fine him. But they can't fine him because he don't have a contract. Okay? He does not have a contract. If he had a contract, he'd have to be there. But he doesn't. And he doesn't have to be. Until he feels like the value is acceptable. So I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Be mad at the owners. All right. Let's transition. So, what's going on with Colin Kaepernick? Touch on this. So, the Nike Colin Kaepernick thing that came out. Now, that was actually what the podcast was going to be about until, you know, the op-ed on Trump. But everybody has gone through this ground so many times. That's the downside of doing a podcast once a week. And I'm not really reactionary. I kind of do the podcast in my own organic time. That's the way I go. Like, if I feel like getting down, I'll get down on the mic. If I don't feel like getting down, I won't get down. This is a side job, you know? I try to appreciate my side chick, but this is just the way it rolls sometimes, you know? Sometimes, you know what I mean? I got to respect my wife every now and then. But talk about Colin Kaepernick. So Colin Kaepernick signed a Nike deal, and I understand where a lot of people are coming from with the Nike thing, right? So one of the things is that it cheapens the protest and the stand he was taking. And to, you know, if you think that way, I mean, I get it. I get it, because there's something to be said for commercializing certain things when you link up with a company. It definitely does get commercialized, and that, you know, I mean, can't really dismiss that. And when you're talking about some humanitarian thing, basically, it does get commercialized. What I would ask you, though, is that a bad thing? Yeah, is that a bad thing? Like, if his goal, and this is his goal, like, this is just a part of a bigger picture. Colin Kaepernick is just one person pulling in this direction. And his goal may not necessarily align with my goal, or, you know, Jesse Jackson's goal, or, you know, whoever it is. Black Lives Matter, it may not align with that, you know, his individual goal and his individual way of pulling. Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were pulling in the same direction. Different ways, different motives, different styles of doing it, but they were pulling the same way. So because Malcolm X was any means necessary and Martin Luther King was nonviolent, you may prefer one way or the other, but it doesn't mean that they didn't pull the same way. I would ask you, is it a bad thing? Is it really a bad thing? Isn't the point to get some money? Money behind what you're doing? Money behind the protest? He's being compensated? I get it. But are civil rights activists supposed to be poor? Like, I know it makes people feel when you're looking at, look at him, look at him being a, he's sacrifice everything. He's sacrificing. Like, so he's supposed to be broke? Like, the only way you appreciate somebody's message is if they don't have any money? Like, you want him to be a martyr? Is that what it is? Like, you want somebody to get shot down based off what they believe? Really? Because if you believe that to be true, I would ask you, do you have a problem with Susan G. Komen? Do you have a problem with the Jimmy V Foundation? I see a lot of people that work at ESPN, and it cheapens what he does. Do you have a problem with Jimmy V? Do you have a problem with Jimmy V linking up with ESPN for cancer research? I mean, saving people's lives. Yeah, well, I mean, black people getting shot by the police. And if Colin Kaepernick can find out a way and Nike can help to not have black people die, is that kind of the same thing? Does it cheapen it? Does it commercialize it? Hell yeah, it commercializes it. You know, ESPN for Jimmy V, they give away, you know, experiences. You can go watch a game with, you know, whoever it is, John Gruden, or you can watch a game with Mike Golick and thousands of dollars. Watch a game with Dan Le Batard. That's commercializing something that is bigger than the Dan Le Batard show. But it's a means to raise money and get awareness. Like, I wasn't really knowing anything. I mean, I grew up with Jimmy V, the foundation, because as a kid, I watched ESPN. So, like, I was familiar with cancer on that level where maybe I would not have been. And I was aware on that level where maybe I would not have been. And Susan G. Komen and all these other foundations and diabetes and stuff like that. What you try to get is a sponsor. That's what you try to get. Is a sponsor. I'm pretty sure if like Ford Motor Company would have went up to Martin Luther King and be like, yo, we love to sponsor what you're doing. I'm pretty sure he would have took it. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's not like, you know, Martin Luther King was like, hey, I don't need your money. I really like preaching for $20 an hour. Now, I'm pretty sure if some big corporation would have got behind the movement and what they were trying to do in the civil rights movement, that was because the goal was to raise awareness. The means they had to raise awareness at that time was boycotting the bus system, doing marches and things of that nature. So we fast forward to 2018, and once again, Colin Kaepernick's way of doing it doesn't have to line up with your way. And it doesn't mean I believe everything Colin Kaepernick is doing, because I necessarily don't. But the idea that we fast forward and now a company who is trying to profit off this situation, who is trying to sell sneakers, I'm well aware. And by the way, when them cap shirts drop, I'm getting one. Okay? Like, I understand they are monetizing off this protest. Like, I completely understand that. But if the greater goal is to not have black people get shot, I'm okay with Nike making a couple bucks. Okay? Because guess who ain't stepping up? Papa John, the Dallas Cowboys, the NFL. That's who ain't stepping up. And you're quite okay watching the NFL and cheering for the Cowboys and rocking hat and doing all that. You're quite okay with that, but you got a problem with Nike making some money. Like, I'm not really that concerned. Now, if everybody was doing it and there was plenty of options, and okay, now we're talking. But the idea that I'm going to be mad at Colin Kaepernick, once again, my dad taught me, get up out that man's pocket. I'm not worried about it. I do think it's cold-blooded that Nike was paying him the whole time. I do. That's ice cold. Like, he never had to work. Like, Nike was paying him. I do think that's cold. But so what? And Nike has plenty of people on their roster that don't play sports. I think Kevin Hart has a Nike deal. I mean, you rocking the Air Hearts to do my stand-up? Not necessarily. But so I'm not going to be mad about that either. I know, like, everybody's in this game to get some for themselves. And is Nike using black pain to make money? Perhaps. Perhaps they're preying on suckers like me. That's going to be like, oh, Cap wears that. I'm going to support Cap. I'm going to buy me a Nike shirt. Perhaps they're doing that. I mean, maybe they are. You know? And maybe I'm the sucker. But if that helps with awareness, a fraction of it helps with awareness of people killing, police killing black people, like, I'm just down for it. I'm down for it. Because there ain't nobody else walking through that door. Like, Microsoft and Boeing and all these Fortune 500 companies, Coca-Cola, they all had the chance to do this. They all had it. Nobody did. I don't see Farrakhan rocking a Kangol. Like they, everybody had the chance, right? Nobody did. So maybe this changes the game, whatever it is, you know? And I ain't got no problem with it. I ain't got no problem with, you know, social activists making money. I ain't got no problem, you know, when Dick Gregory was selling the Dick Gregory juice and people was buying it. I ain't got no problem with it. I got no problem with it making money. And I don't know why people feel like it's so much better if activists are broke. I can't grasp that. And that's the thing I'm hearing over and over and over. Well, now he's profiting. He's not really sacrificing. He's making money. Get out that man's pocket. Who cares if activists make money? Like I hope, I wish, I know it wasn't, but I wish Martin Luther King was a multimillionaire. It's the least you could do. Do you have a problem with Ali having a brand and selling t-shirts at the end? Like, I hope the dude was making money. That dude took a stand against something when it wasn't necessarily the most popular thing. And now we want to act like, oh, this man is so great that he did that. And it's easy to say it now because he can't talk. But this is in the moment. And years from now, one day, some, to quote the great, to quote the weirdly odd Dennis Rodman, one day, we're going to look back. One day, going to look back and be like, Nike was on the right side of history. And who was it? Papa John's and Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. In the NFL, those dudes were not on the right side of history. So you got your time to write your history right now. And not saying you got to get down with the Nike thing. I'm not saying that. Not saying you got to get down with Cap. I'm not saying that. But stay woke out here in these streets, because this is what's happening. History is being written right in front of you. And you have the opportunity. That's right. You have the opportunity to be on the right side. And you know it's the right side. You got the opportunity. See what we got left. We're going to get up out of here. You know what? Let's do quick hitters, shall we? Quick hitters. Can we hit it like we did one more time from the top? Can we hit it like that one more time? One more time. Let's hit it and quit. Go ahead. Can we hit it and quit? Yeah. Can we hit it and quit? Yeah. Can we hit it and quit? Yeah. All right, quick hitters. So check it out. I actually watched some of the WNBA playoffs. Elena Deladon, me and my brother doing the fantasy football draft. I got sucked back in the fantasy doggone football. I'm not good at it. I am one of the worst fantasy football players. I'm good at fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball. That's my wheelhouse. You know what I mean? Fantasy football is too random. I'm not good at it. I always try to play it like baseball. Like, I'm going to draft 5 running backs, and then I'm going to trade, but then no one just trades, and then someone rips the ACL, and now my team's in last place. But WNBA playoffs and the Seattle Storm are in the playoffs against the Washington Mystics. I watched Elena Deladon play with Patrick Ewing-like Niebuhr. She tore her ACL like 2 games ago, and now she's in the NBA Finals. That is quite amazing. I'll be watching the WNBA playoffs or finals. That'd be pretty dope. Eminem dropped a new record. I didn't listen to the record because Eminem is, you know, it's been boo-boo lately. So, you know, I'll wait till I see some clips or a reason, but I'm good on that. And as I said in the beginning, I'll be in Florence, Indiana, maybe. Like, I don't really know if I'm going to be in Florence, Indiana. I know I told y'all I'd be there, but I don't really know. I'm looking at tickets and transportation, and it's like, it's tough to go to a city that don't have an airport, you know? Like, I like Dayton, Ohio, but you gotta have an airport. At least they got an airport that's kind of close. Like, if I can't Uber from your airport for $20, like that's too far, you know? Like, if you ain't got public transportation, you know, that's just too far. If I gotta catch a Greyhound from the airport to get to your city, that's too much, man. That's too much. So, if anybody got some recommendations on how to get from the Cincinnati airport to Florence, Indiana, holla at your boy. Let's wrap up the show. Thank you and you, you and you for tuning in to the Last Show podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. Go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com, see where I'm performing. October 6th, as I said, Naked City Brewery, 6:30 in at 9 p.m. You can catch Ken Hamlet with Naren Vaughn, headliner Noriko Ott. Tony Daniel will also be on the show, and get your tickets at standupstyle.eventbrite.com. Also, see where I'm performing. I may be in Florence, Indiana at the end of this month, but I will definitely be at Sarasota McCurdy's the first week of October. I'll be there. Come check me out. See what I'm up to. In the meantime, check out my YouTube page /KShaneComedy. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Courtney Shane, KRTNEY. Shane Williams. I'm going to holler at you next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Oh, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run on muck. This is what he does.
Aha. Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Till next time, take care of yourself and each other.
Run through a motherfucking face. Then you don't have to worry about him no more.
Toodaloo.